The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Mark's Gospel depicts Jesus as challenging traditional ways in which religious people determine what is pure or impure. For Jesus, the observance of religious practices cannot become a substitute for godly works or deeds that spring from a faithful heart. I begin reading at verse 1. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it, and there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. How many of you have seen somebody use one of these? Do you know what it's used for? Well, that's right. How many of you ever used, I'm not sure I can open it, used one of these? Oh yeah, all of you have. And what do you use it for? To wipe your hands, that's right. In our world today, we're very concerned about our healthy foods and the things we put into our mouth. We want it to be clean. Well, that's not a new thing. In the Bible story that Pastor just read, the Jews had the same rules that they had to wash before they ate. But that reminded Jesus of something when they came to him and said, "Your disciples are eating without washing their hands." And he was reminded that Isaiah the prophet once said that the people were honoring God with their lips and not their hearts. And so Jesus told them, it's not what goes into your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth and out of your heart that is important. And that we should remember the heart is, it needs to be good, and we need to be kind, and we need to say good things. So, yes, it's a good thing that we want to take care, but that is not the most important thing in our heart. Let us pray. Lord, lead us in the right way, so that our hearts remain true to you. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember growing up and someone saying to you, why do you not live according to the tradition of your elders and eat with defiled hands? Maybe it didn't quite come off like that. Maybe it was more like, it's time to eat, go wash your hands. Or maybe it was, did you wash your hands for supper? Yes, I did. Well, let me see them. Now go back and wash with soap. In our gospel lesson today, we once again find Jesus caught up in controversy with the scribes and the Pharisees. They were on different pages of what God wants for us and how to live. And this one kind of centers around the traditions of the elders, or the codes, the laws that dealt with how to wash your hands. Basically, the scribes and the Pharisees were accusing Jesus and his disciples of not following God's law. In other words, that they were not faithful to God because they were not following the religious laws. And possibly, they have a point. I mean, if we go back and we look at our first lesson today from Deuteronomy, the Israelite people were about ready to cross into the promised land. And Moses is saying, are you ready for this? Are you sure you're ready for this? Remember the things that God has done as you have traveled through the wilderness, of how he released you from Egypt and gave you water, gave you food, gave you his law in the Ten Commandments and all the codes and statutes that go along with it. Now, as we cross into this promised land, you are to remember these laws. Are you ready to follow them? And the people said, yes, we are ready. These laws were there as a way to live in right relationship with God and how to live in right relationship with each other. And these laws also defined them as a people as they moved into this new land that was already occupied. And so these laws were important. They were to follow these laws. Or if we jump on over to the psalm, even the psalm is saying, do what's right. Do the right thing. Those who belong in the tabernacle are the ones who do the things that God has told you to do. And if you look at the second lesson, even James is saying to do the right thing, to do what is righteous, to do what is faithful, or as he puts it, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. Do the right thing. Do what's right. Follow the laws. And so it appears that the scribes and the Pharisees have a point here, that maybe they're right in getting on Jesus and his disciples for not following these laws and traditions. But there's more that's going on here than just not following the laws. For one thing, with the laws of the Jews, many times it had kind of gotten convoluted to a certain extent. God gave the laws so that we do live in right relationship with God and right relationship with people. The law is there to tell us that this is the way that God wants us to live, that God wants us to have a life that is happy and full and content and rich. God wants us to have a full life, and the best way to do that is by these things that God has given us to do, by following these laws. That's the proper way to live. That's what makes God happy, and it will make us happy as well, too. But what happened is over the centuries then, the scribes, the elders, the learned people, the scholars, started studying all these laws, and they started to pick at them, and they started to say, okay, what's it mean to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy? And so they started to list all these other laws that went along with that. And I'm not sure exactly where this law of hand washing came in, but it became to be so tedious with everything that you do in life. Jesus calls the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites, that they're too worried about these little tedious ordinances rather than what's the intent behind them. And how tedious these ordinances would get. I'm not sure exactly how this worked with the hand washing, the proper procedure that they had to go through, but it was a proper procedure. There were words that they had to say, prayers, incantations, liturgies, or whatever you want to call it, as they washed their hands. And not only that, they had to do wash their hands in the proper way. Was it as you use a certain amount of water? If you use too much, it's no good. If you use too little, it's no good. As you wash your hands, do you wash the right one first, or you wash the left one first, or do you wash the back side of this one first and the back side of that one first? And it was a proper way of doing it. The scribes and the Pharisees weren't worried about, are your hands clean? They were worried about if you do it in the right way, of just going through the steps, going through the procedures. They had lost the whole intent behind it. Or think about it this way. When you drive close to a school, there's a sign outside, and a lot of them have a blinking light on top, a blinking light on the bottom, and right in the middle it says speed limit, 20 miles an hour. Now, that's not put there just to annoy you so that you have to slow down or make you late to get somewheres. It's there for a purpose. There's an intent behind there. There's children around. And children can be sporadic sometimes, and they're not always safe. And so as you, as a driver, need to be the safe one. You need to be cautious and watch out for the children so that nobody gets hurt. Now, the law says 20 miles an hour. That's what the law says. Now, some people who are driving slightly under that speed limit may be more careless drivers than those that are driving slightly above that speed limit. Somebody who's driving slightly above that speed limit may be watching. They may be watching the traffic ahead. They may be watching the traffic behind them. They may be noticing the children, where they're at. Or they'll be watching for the cars that are parked on the side of the road, making sure that no children are dashing out. They may be looking for a crossing where children cross the street. They're paying attention to what's going on, and they're ready to stop as immediately if there's any danger around. Those that are driving maybe slightly under the speed limit may not be so cautious. They may be there munching on a breakfast burrito, sipping on some coffee, fooling with the radio, trying to pick up the peanut butter lid that fell on the floor. They're not paying attention. They're following the law to the letter. They're under the speed limit. But they're not following the intent of the law, which is to be cautious, to be safe, so that nobody is hurt. And that's what Jesus is accusing these scribes and Pharisees of being. Hypocrites, of maybe following the law to the letter, but missing the whole point of what's behind that. What's behind that law of loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. They have forgotten the intent. So, does that mean that Moses was wrong in telling the people that you must follow the laws? No, the laws are still pertinent for us today. Like I said, they are for our relationship with God and with each other. The laws were given as a gift. That is the way that we are to live our lives. Or what's going on with James here? It seems James is in opposition to Jesus' words as well then, too. There are several things that are going on here with James. The story of us is that God created us. He created us good. He created us in his image, but we fell short of the law. We missed the mark, and we do sin. And so God needed to send a Savior into the world, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon himself. He took our guilt upon himself, and he died on the cross. And he rose to a new life, giving us the promise too of a new life, but also washing us clean through baptism so that we are forgiven, so that we do not have the guilt within us. Now, some of the early Christians understood this. They understood this perfectly well, and then they started to think, well, then it doesn't matter what I do, because God's going to forgive me. I can drink as much as I want. I can go party as much as I want. I can steal. I can lie. I can cheat. I can take things from my neighbor. I can treat my neighbor badly. I can abuse other people. I can do whatever I want. I love to sin. God loves to forgive. So what's the problem? James is saying, no, that is not how it works. What James is saying is that when you are a Christian, when you do believe in God, when you take God into your heart, when God is there and present, God will guide you. That Holy Spirit will guide you. And you will want to do what is righteous, what is just. You will want to do what is right, what God is calling you to do. It will flow from you because that Spirit is within you. And so our intention as Christians is not to sin so that God can forgive. Our life as Christians is to follow the life that God intended for us. To go back to those intentions of what God had for us. To live a life that is full. To live a life that is full of love, that is giving, that is full of forgiveness. God calls us to follow what God wants us to do. Now, today is Rally Day. We're beginning a new Sunday school year, and it's good to see all of the kids back in church once again, and I'm sure you're excited to go to Sunday school and see your friends and learn about God and do the projects and just have fun in Sunday school. And most of your kids are probably like that. But then maybe there's some kids and maybe adults too, who say, our kids particularly, that didn't want to come this morning, but they're here anyway because the law says that they need to be here. And the law is in the form of mom or dad. You're coming to Sunday school today. Okay? We're here for one reason or another. We are here. But the intent is to be here so that we can learn about God. The intent is here so that we do continue to honor those vows that we made in baptism, that we would teach the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, and as we grow in years, that the parents would place in their hands of their children the Scriptures and teach them a godly way of life. We as a Sunday school are here to help raise the children in the faith. And we do that because it's an outflowing of the Spirit of God which is within us. This is the future of the church. And Sunday school is not only for the children, but it's also for adults as well then too. That we have three wonderful classes for adults. Sunday school class, there's good discussion in there. Much learning and faith is growing. And I'm sure with some of your teachers, too, that you're excited that Sunday school is about ready to start and you've got great things planned. You're excited to be able to teach the kids again. You have ideas. You're creative. But then there's going to be some of those Sundays that say, shoot, I got to prepare a lesson again this week. But you'll be here anyway. Again, that's the law speaking to us. Somewhere between the law and the gospel, there is a balance. And in that balance, in that middle state, is where the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and calls us and reminds us who we are and whose we are. That we do the things that God calls us to do because that is an outflowing of what God has given to us. May God's Spirit be with each and every one of us as we begin a new year. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.